of faith is disturbing.
Believe it!
Okay!
What's going on, Geeks? You're listening to episode 366 of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. My name is Cody Armour. I'm here with LJ Lowry.
Yo!
And Shelley Nolan.
Hello!
And if you haven't checked out last week's episode, I just want to say do so. Because it was so good.
That's right.
It was episode 365, which was, like, a really big deal to me. I was so excited to get there. And we brought back Joe Morgan, who was originally one of the podcast hosts on this podcast. There were tears. There was laughter. It was so good.
There's something to be said about having one episode for each day of the year.
Yes. Yeah.
We've been doing this that long.
Yeah, when you consider that we record weekly, and we skip weeks every once in a while for holidays, breaks, mm-hmm. etc. 365 is a lot, and that's a lot of hours if we go for mm-hmm. roughly an hour every episode, sometimes longer. I think especially if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, definitely listen to it. But if you haven't been listening for a long time, I might give you a good idea of like some of the history of our podcast and how we've been thinking about it and how it's kind of grown and changed. So recommend it to everybody mm-hmm, in that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. really cool. This week, also going to be a good episode, hopefully.
Yeah.
No, this one sucks. Turn it off. Yeah. Go listen to the next one. This week we're geeking out about Spider-Man, Five Nights at Freddy's, and Loki. And none of those are news stories. Usually we highlight our news stories when we're talking about, when I do that like intro thing. But all the news is sad. Yeah. It's all not great news.
Pretty much.
It's important news. I want to throw that out there. It is important news.
It doesn't work with our little creative highlight intro,
yeah,
though.
I'm always like, this week we're geeking out about... We're not geeking out about
it's
anything.
Like we're talking
in the news
about
right
it,
now.
But we're not geeking out about it.
Yeah.
Correct.
We are the opposite of geeking out about it. We're like, meh. So, not great news, but all important news. Stuff that you'll probably want to know more about. So stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do that though, LJ, what have you been playing?
Alright, so first, before I really geek out about Spider-Man, I'm gonna mm-hmm. talk a little bit about Mario Wonder, which honestly is the most, I'm gonna say this is like one of the most like overused journalism terms ever, but Mario Wonder is extremely refreshing, I think, for a 2D Mario game.
Mm.
Like, I'll say this, even with the first like New Super Mario Brothers game, I never really cared for them. I just feel like they always kind of lacked a little personality. But yeah. Mario Wonder is really fun. It's so good. You can play as a bunch of different characters. They have all the levels are super creative. They're not always very long, but it very much feels like Nintendo's take on like some of the stuff I've seen like Rayman Legends do, kind of. They found ways to make all the levels unique. There's the Wonder Flowers you can get that change up levels quite a bit. They kind of just do something. They'll do something crazy with the level if you find it, where to collect one and stuff like that. It's super fun. There's like little abilities you can get that are like badges. There's like this wall climb one where you can get like an extra hop, you know, when you climb a wall and stuff. It actually helps you kind of mantle, I guess, like if you're trying to get to a ledge. You can hop, and then instead of jumping off the wall right away, you can do this little hop and actually like climb a ledge, kind of. They got that new elephant ability. They got a bubble ability.
How's that Mario voice?
Yeah,
it sounds... Well, actually, I guess I've been playing as Luigi.
Okay.
But, I mean, he did voice Luigi, too. I mean, it sounds like Mario and Luigi. Ooh, what I really like is the online mode. And I think there's an article I read that somebody did where it said it made Mario Wonder almost feel like playing a Souls game, because there's an online mode where you can see like ghosts of like three other players trying to play the level at the same time as you. And so instead of taking a death right away, you can actually go like float to somebody and they will They can like revive you, like when you walk, when you float past them. There's even little standees you can place, kind of like how the Souls games where you can like put a scroll or like a message somewhere.
Oh, and you can use
those, like people can float to those to actually revive themselves. Or it's like, hey, you want to tell somebody, hey, there's a secret here, go down this pipe or something.
Dude, you know, you Elden Ring and Mario Water.
Yes, you can put like a little standee there that kind of like, I mean, potentially you could use it to troll people too, I guess, if you really wanted to. I mean, like
Elden Ring, but yeah, totally.
Yes, so I just think it's super creative, and it makes playing every level feel like you're not alone, which feels really weird to say, like, for a Mario game. I mean, as, like, I'm playing I'm playing it by myself. I mean, it's up to four players, too, so if you have people you want to play with as well like that, you can.
Yeah,
but it
I like
just,
that,
it makes it, it makes the world feel more alive. Like, you're not just like, oh, I'm this Luigi, but here's this other Mario. Like, I don't know. Like, they never explain it, but it's almost like you're interacting with, like, characters from, like, other universes or something. It just, like, I don't know. It's just this weird... That's kind of my headcanon. It's like, oh, like, man, you know, like, I don't know. But no, it's awesome. Super fun.
Because so it's like, even if you're not playing multiplayer, you still get to be with people.
Yes, you still get to be with people, and you kind of, you see them in the background doing stuff too. And let's say you do see some kind of puzzle or some little jump you don't know how to make, and you watch them do it, and you go, oh, okay, that's how I do that. All right, cool. You know, like, I didn't know, you know, I didn't think about it that way. So it's, it helps you explore stuff. It helps you find secrets. Yeah, makes it feel more alive. So I've enjoyed it a lot. I feel like I haven't enjoyed a classic like 2D Mario game like that in a long time. So it's really nice. It's nice to see them evolving an old school formula. So yeah, and then the other game I've been enjoying quite a lot. I beat it last night. Is Spider-Man 2, and I love it. It's great. They've so delivered good. On a lot of things. There's a few twists and things that I really enjoyed too. I'm like, oh, okay. There's definitely areas they went hard in that I didn't expect them to go that hard in. The only thing I don't know if I'm happy about is kind of the overall message of the game is almost like it's trying to not make comparisons, but it's like, it just kind of reminds me of, it's weirdly reminding me of like when everybody was trying to like get over like COVID or whatever. It's like, oh, like, you know, and it's weird just because the whole message is like about the healing the world and stuff like that. And I'm like, we've already been through this, guys. Like, that's something they constantly say through the game. And it's just one of those things. I'm just like, we don't need this right now. Like, you might have been able to help say something 2 years ago, which also, sure, I know this game was being like developed in the middle of probably the pandemic too, so it's like, sure, if that's what your hearts were really telling you at the time, like, cool. But it just, like, I still enjoyed the game a lot. The message of it all just feels slightly outdated, which feels weird to say like 3 years after 2020, but I love the game. I'd agree with a lot of other people or a lot of other reviewers. Well, maybe not a lot of them, because I know there's a few people that gave it an 8, and there was other people that were like freaking out about it. But I would agree with that. Like, it's not this amazing, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell somebody who's not a Spider-Man fan, oh, you should go play this. You're going to really love it. You know, like, if it is a really, really good superhero game. It's like one of the Batman Arkham games. It's probably one of the best superhero games you are going to play. But I'm not going to tell a person who's not into superheroes to go play this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about it. I still really love it. I'm going to platinum it. I got to introduce my nephew to it the first time because he just got to play a little bit this morning before I went to work. But I already know, like, I should check how many hours I've put into it. I don't know off the top of my head. But I already know I'm going to platinum this. I'm probably going to New Game Plus it when New Game Plus comes out. Like, it's just what I did with the first one and Miles Morales. So it's like, I know there's a big conversation about playtime and does hours determine, like, you know, is it worth the price of what you spent? And I'm like, I don't care if it's 25 or 30. I put 60 hours into both Miles Morales and the first game. Like, you know, so I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm about to drop another 60 into this game. So I'm down with it. It's just, it's my bread and butter. It may not be everybody else's, but I'm a geek for third person action adventure games. Like, this is all me. And it's Spider-Man, so yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. So I haven't played it myself, but I watched my husband play like 80% of it. I watched him play quite a bit. Such a cinematic game. It really is just like watching a movie. which I know some people may not be a fan of. It's, for me, it feels a lot like, not in like themes and stuff, but just the gameplay experience is very feels like Final Fantasy 16 to me, in the sense of like, well, no, it's not like open world, I guess. No, it's not. Oh, you have all these different choices that affect how you, you know, end the game and what your character does and having that autonomy. No, you're playing an actual character, not just playing an avatar. You're playing an actual character with an actual story, actual character development. You have a story that you're doing, and it's really good, and it's kind of doesn't have to be that long, but it's very cohesive. You have all these other characters, mm-hmm. and you're like still playing as the character, but there is sort of a separation of like you aren't actually Peter Parker. You know, you aren't actually Miles Morales, but you can play as them, and that's really cool. Like, obviously, there's awesome reasons to love games like Baldur's Gate, games that are actually open world, or games that have lots of different choice, or lots of different, you know, I love RPGs, so I still like those games a lot, but I think people, for some reason, have been trying to devalue games that are just story-based, you're playing as an established character.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, it's not as good because there's no choice, and because it's shorter, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, maybe having a really seamless 30-hour experience can be better for some people than having a weird, choppy, unsure 60-hour experience. Which, again, that's very much putting things into a general perspective, obviously. You know, I just think people should be able to enjoy games. And I think that I'm kind of annoyed that there's some people be like, well, it's only like a 20, 30 hour game and you're paying like $60 or $70 for it. That's a waste of your money, or that's like not fair. It's bad. You should play these other games instead because you can spend so many hours into it and you get all this extra choice and you can create your own character. It's like, hey, I like those games too, but like, why can't we have both? Like, there's a reason I love Final Fantasy 16 so much, and I will play Spider-Man 2 on my own eventually, just not yet. I want to wait till New Game Plus is out, I'm pretty sure, because it's not in there yet. They're going to patch it in before the end of the year.
Yep.
But I just think we should be able to enjoy this too. There's something to be said about just a really good, like, story that
some of my most favorite games are, like, six hours long.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be, like, super complicated or crazy. And, you know, I think Spider-Man does have that nice level of cheese on it. It's like that nice pizza, nice layered cheese, because it's still a comic game. I was making fun of the game the whole time watching my husband play it, not because of actual flaws, just because of like the pseudoscience they talk about in the games, where they're just like, oh, well, we're trying to find this grandpa in the Central Park, we found his inhaler, we can reverse engineer and pull out the chemicals in the inhaler so we can track him through the park.
It's like, such a comic book video game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yep. I'm just like, if any of this science actually existed, then cancer would be solved, you know? And there was another, again, not trying to be spoilery, but there is something you do in the game where they're trying to help the bees, and you would think, you know, I was watching this game, like, oh, they're trying to help the bees by helping cultivation and maybe trying to plant more flowers or try to do something. No, you're helping the bees by controlling a drone that shoots little poofs at wolf bees, wolf something. There's like a predator to bees. And I'm like, and you get to control this drone and like do that, which I'm like, for a game that makes sense, but I'm just like, from a science perspective, that would be
such comic book logic.
That's so expensive to create a drone just to poof out. I mean, like, you'd expect that out of a game about
radioactive spiders biting people. So,
exactly. Like, that's why it's like, I was making fun of that the whole time, but I couldn't make fun of. And there was like there were some glitches, some funny sequences. For example, there's a you can ride your bike in this game.
Oh, and yeah.
My husband, he was riding this bike, and there's kind of like a cutscene sequence going on, you know, where you have you're following someone, but instead of walking, you're just on a bike.
I definitely ran into stuff doing
there's,
that.
Exactly. There's people just flying out of the way in such a dramatic fashion as you're driving. You're also not wearing a freaking helmet, which already is a red flag. And then there's a bus coming by, and Daniel's pedaling and just goes through the bus.
You pass right through the bus.
It was so funny. So like, and people are also giving the game crap because of that, because every single time there's a AAA game, people will try to break it as much as they can.
They pick it apart.
Well, it's a bad game because this his face looks funny when you do this weird thing you're not supposed to do. I'm like, well, freaking, maybe you're not supposed to do that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think people need to remember that they can just have a good time when playing a video game, and that it's okay, and we don't need to value games by how long they are or how pretty they are. Like, it is a gorgeous game, but like, we don't need to value games by, you know, your choices. Like, it could be a story, you know, like, obviously.
Kind of going off of that.
Let's just have both.
The divide that I keep seeing, when I'm talking to, like, just everyone else, I guess, in my my town, my little world, is, like, I play a lot of single-player games, story-wise.
Yeah.
Story mode. And everyone else that I talk to is online. So, like, oh, have you played they're like, I'm a gamer. And they're like, have you played Valorant, this, or this? And they're all multiplayer games that I'm, like, not playing. And I'm like, have you played this? And they go, oh, I don't have a PS5.
They go,
like,
what?
I
don't have, like, I play half the games. Like, but that's the thing, too, is, like, PS5 or PlayStation in general definitely has kind of that story-driven solo
God
adventure
of War,
kind of unlock.
Final Fantasy, not 14. Yeah. 14 is multiplayer, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Yes.
Man.
Yeah.
That's still, so I mean, that's still, like that one is still kind of open world.
Yeah, you're still a gamer. Of
I
want
to go back.
Yeah, that one is still open world, but it's like, you're still playing an established character. I think that's part of it. It's like playing an established character with choices, or without tons of choices, I guess is what I should say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, people are like, well, you have to be able to play like some sort of avatar and have like all these choices. But then people play games like Persona 5, and then they complain about having a silent protagonist. They're like, or Fire Emblem Three Houses, where they're just like, well, if the protagonist is silent, why are they so, like, charismatic? Why do all these people follow you? And I'm just like, come on, you gotta have some sort of, like, you gotta kind of make the character, right?
If you gotta let give you the brain character, kind of just not think about that. Like,
otherwise you gotta, or otherwise just stick with games that already have established characters, which is fine too, but I'm like, you gotta, you know, they're different games.
Yeah. Lastly, I do want to also recognize that they definitely take some technology they learned from Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart and apply that to this game, which I think is amazing.
So
what
cool.
they do with that open world, and it feels so dense, like, so compared to like their others, like, you can just definitely tell they took notes from what they've done with like the hardware and applied it to this game. So it was just really cool to see, like, they evolved from something like Ratchet and Clank, which was amazing too, and just applied that to this game too. So
The suits were great. Suits are so good. They brought back some of the favorite ones, and they introduced a bunch of new cool stuff. There are some, like, I don't know. It's a very cool game. Although, I will say, for those who are still playing, yes, there are end credit scenes. And yes, there's one after the long credits. See it even if you skip them. I don't
there's
know.
Two.
We literally sat through the, like, okay, good, because I was like,
I skipped
them.
I was like, I'm not sitting through this, because I think I did that with the other games, where I was like, I'm not sitting through this, I'm skipping it, and then, like, it totally just showed me those things.
It did. Okay, good, because, just something to be aware of, though, for you Marvel folks.
Yes,
and it's definitely, all I'll say is that it's definitely going to be a trilogy, which is very exciting.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to see, like, what they do with the DLC for this game, since they did
the DLC
for the first game. So
definitely they'll play
in
DLC.
I am still playing Horizon. I'm gonna play that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
This game, I got done. I had a town, and I got there all the little green exclamation points, which are side missions for those who don't know. And I did all the side missions, and I went, finally got them all done. And then I left because they weren't there when I got them all done, and more popped up, and it was characters that I had saved and other side missions, like, had met through the other side missions. Very cool. But Horizon, I need a break.
It almost feels like Ghost, that's like Lorenzo, like Ghost of Tsushima. It's like, oh, I'm good. Oh, wait, there's another thing I ran into. There's another
It just keeps coming.
Yeah.
I mean, the one nice thing is the side quests are interesting and they're interesting enough. I still think that I need more robots. That's been kind of killing me, is that I'm doing the same things over and over.
Yeah.
And it's so big that I just blah. A couple things. There's a glitch in the game that I don't know how they haven't fixed yet, where you'll be fighting things that are story important. It's like, kill the machines. You can't progress in your side mission until you've killed these machines. And they will glitch underground.
Whoa.
So that you can't attack them.
That's weird.
And you have to reload the game to get them.
Don't like that.
And I'm like, why haven't you fixed this yet? It's happened to me twice now, and it's one of the most frustrating, because I don't save often enough. And then also, as much as I'm loving the story of this game, there is a... I don't want to give anything away. There's a really cool moment with a character that thinks that they have reincarnated with their reincarnation of an older character. And yeah, that's basically all I'll say on that. But like, there was a lot that they could have done with that situation and they didn't. They just kind of brushed it off and made it like a whatever thing. And made it just kind of unimportant and just pushed the story along. And that was a bummer because they could really flesh something out that was really cool. And you could tell that they were just kind of rushing the story, would not rush, giving me 1,000 side missions. I would have rathered more story and driven stuff and less side, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. My favorite thing about the game so far is Aloy is the sassiest. I don't remember her being this sassy in the first game. She's gone through more things. Yeah. Like the first game, she was kind of exploring the world. She was learning, you know, new cultures and things. And like everything was new to her.
Now she's like, I've seen everything. Y'all gotta stop.
She runs this world.
That was so funny.
It's so funny sometimes. She's just calling people out left and right. Yeah. That's probably my favorite thing. Sassy Aloy being sassy. I'm sure there are just like compilations of it on YouTube. She doesn't take no from anyone. There's a scene, just for, I'm trying to think of like good examples that are quick. I think this one is probably, there's a guy and he's like this old veteran soldier and you're going to go meet this like kingly thing. And he's like, I'll do the talking. And she goes, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
No. She's like, okay, sure, buddy.
That's great.
She's like, you might do the talking. We'll see. but yeah, I don't know. I'll probably be talking about this game for forever because it's just not going to end.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm getting close to the end of the story, but the missions are just... And I probably will give up at some point. I got to look it up and see how important these side missions are. I'm so involved in them because in the last game, the side missions all played a part in the ending of the story. And that was really cool. It was kind of that tropey thing of like, everyone you helped out came to help you in the end kind of thing.
Right, yes. I do remember that.
So I don't know if that's happening in this game or not, but I want to be everyone's friend. So, that's where I'm at in that game. It's a never-ending story. Gotta fight machines. That was something else. There was something that was not machine-related that was roaring and grumbling, and it was really cool, and you don't see it. And you can't fight it.
Boo!
You just...
No.
Yeah. You just burn a building down. And I was like, I can't even look at it? Like, it was such a cool idea. That goes back to that reincarnation stuff. But, yeah. Ah, that was a bummer. That was them not fleshing things out when they could have. But, anyway, it was almost as if they wanted to and they just didn't have the time to do it kind of thing. Which I get. They would have had to, like, redo a ton of mechanics to have you fight some big, like, monster thing. That's all the games that I've been playing. That and Super Snail, but I literally nothing to say about Super Snail.
Super Snail!
I hate that I still play that game.
That's funny.
And Pokemon Sleep. LJ, what's going on in the gaming world?
Yeah, so let me get kind of the smaller one out of the way. So through earnings, I think, well, some called an IR presentation, which I'm assuming it's like an investor thing. According to Capcom and the translations that somebody got, is that they still have a big unannounced game coming out in March, and they haven't said what that is. So that's kind of exciting. They could definitely do, and they say it's going to be a big. They say it's going to be a big one. I don't know what that could mean. I know they are talking about doing what's cited in this article is they are doing an Apollo Justice trilogy, which is a spinoff of Phoenix Wright. So if you like Phoenix Wright games, that's still coming out. But alongside that, apparently, some big big franchise release or something. So people are hoping it's going to be Dino Crisis. I mean,
I know what I want.
It's
going to
be Street Fighter 2 Remake, the remake.
Mortal Kombat already did that with Mortal Kombat 1.
They did.
But the games I want, they're
Turbo,
not doing.
Turbo.
Turbo happened also already.
I want Okami and I want Breath of Fire. Those franchises are dead to them, for sure. Like, it's not going to be either of those, but man, do I want... I mean, they did an HD remake of Okami some years ago, but for them, they're like, yep, that's it. That's all we need to do. And I'm like, no, give me another game. They're like, well, what about the one on the DS? And I'm like, no, not good enough. Please.
I would want a Beautiful Joe game. Those are awesome. Those games are great. I would love to see them back. But it's probably going to be... I mean, I guess it would make sense because they have been... Like, I think Resident Evil 4 came out around March or something, too. So they could do Dino Crisis. I think that's kind of the big one I think people are wanting. But, I mean, we got Dragon's Dogma 2 coming out also. But that's true. Not... You know, they say this is unannounced, so...
They're just like, they're never going to do Breath of Fire because the last time they tried to do... The last time they tried to do Breath of Fire, they tried to make it an MMO, which is like, why? And then awkward. They gave up. And that's it. Then the franchise died.
So who knows what that could be. I mean, I'm down with the Dino Crisis thing, especially if it's going to be like Resident Evil. I always wanted a Jurassic Park like horror game, like the actual like book. The books are almost horror, so I'm like... Yeah. I'm okay with that. So we're gonna have to see on what that is. It's just kind of like, oh, like really? Like it's about to be November, and y'all still haven't announced like what this is gonna be.
Yeah,
so who knows? We're probably gonna find out soon enough, I'd imagine. But to answer Cody's question, it won't be Street Fighter. They've definitely got Street Fighter 6 alive and kicking.
How many Street Fighter 2s are there? Huh? That's what I want to know. How many times have they made Street Fighter 2?
I think you cut out. How many? That's why.
How many versions of Street Fighter 2 are there out there?
Oh, gosh, there's like 6 of them. I'm gonna look up how many versions of Street Fighter 2 there are now, because you have me curious.
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior.
Yep. Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition.
And then Street Fighter 2
Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting.
Yep.
Ultra Street Fighter 2 The Final Challengers.
Yep.
I thought you were kidding.
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Yep.
This is like Kingdom Hearts.
Hyper Street Fighter 2 The Anniversary Edition.
Yes, there's
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and let us not forget Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's a lot. Anyway,
I think we're due for another one.
Oh man, that's pretty wild.
I won't buy it or play it, but someone will.
Yeah.
They really like Street Fighter 2.
Oh yeah.
And Knuckles.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Knuckles in. You could probably put Knuckles in Street Fighter 6 if you make him an avatar, literally.
Ooh,
that would be like nightmare fuel though. Anyway, the next piece of news, we got a few things to talk about around this side, around what's going on here. So according to some people, they are plugging in Xbox accessories such as headsets and controllers and stuff that are third party, and they're getting a notification on their console that they're unable to use that device. And so that's leading people to believe that Microsoft is banning third party devices. And I do have some experience with seeing their, like, so they've been doing this thing to where on certain products now, they'll be like, this is an Xbox licensed software. Hence this rig headset that I'm wearing. It's like an Xbox licensed product. So it doesn't necessarily mean like non-third party. It just means it's not licensed. So the notification says a connection and a connected accessory is not authorized. So basically if your hardware isn't Xbox, is not licensed with Xbox, then you won't be able to use it. Which, to be honest, I feel like I've always had issues with like certain headsets and certain third party stuff with Xbox anyway, so it's always been kind of not worked great for me at all. But that's why, like, this is one of the first headsets I've ever used where it's, that's worked with, especially wireless, that's worked with my Xbox, like, at all. Like, so, it's just takes me back to the licensed by Nintendo days, where it's like Nintendo would go through everything, like, that, all, like, all the games that they would, like, let through to their system. But now the eShop is like the Wild West sometimes, actually a lot of the time. So it's like, there's stuff that's like shouldn't even see the light of day. The eShop looks like a Steam store these days. So yeah, it's just kind of crazy. It's like, I think it's great. Like I guess the monitoring of quality is cool and all, but it's like, I don't think this is the right way to be like, oh, like, can I, so theoretically, can I go and plug in my Fight Stick that I bought a few years ago now? Is that going to give me an error if I go right. plug that in right now? I have no idea. It's, I might see just to see, if it does that, but yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean, sure. Like if Xbox is going to, like, if you're going to let certain companies make stuff for your console, then yes, get it licensed. There's probably also, I'd imagine, some special technology or some kind of special fee that these companies are gonna have to pay to even be able to make their stuff compatible with Xbox. At least I would think. So it's just kind of weird. Yeah. So in other news, companies also being weird, I'm going to hand it over to Shelly. We're going to keep talking about Nintendo because Nintendo is doing some weird stuff too.
Yeah,
Xbox, like, also hates their fans. Like
Nintendo, yeah, yeah. It's like Xbox trying to ban unlicensed things, like maybe like modded things. I don't know. It's just, yeah. It goes kind of nicely into what Nintendo's doing. If you haven't seen it, if you, you know, play any sort of competitive Nintendo game, you probably already kind of know what I'm about to talk about, but Nintendo basically released some community tournament guidelines. And first it was released in Japan, and then like 8 hours later it was the UK Nintendo posted it, and then finally Nintendo America posted it. I don't know about if there's like an Australian one or anywhere else, but they got the bigger cases covered with like Japan, US, and UK. But they released a bunch of guidelines on how they want tournaments to be run. Mm. Tournaments that are using their games. So for me, like, I'm big in the Smash community, so really it's affecting Smash a lot. But I imagine it would also affect Splatoon. If there's Mario Kart tournaments and communities out there that I'm totally unaware of, then it would probably affect them. I don't know, are there Mario Party tournaments? There could be. It would affect them too. So
it's that'd really be hardcore.
It's for, yeah.
Those would be the most competitive tournaments I'd ever, like, watch.
There's very little skill involved with those. I think there'd just be so much luck that, like, anyway, that'd be really funny. But they released some guidelines on how they want these sort of community tournaments to be run, and they made it so they're like, well, the bigger tournaments need to have a license, which that's not really a foreign concept. That's kind of somewhat normal. It's just more like a lot of these majors have been able to go without a license and without permission of Nintendo directly, and now they're really gonna have to get permission from Nintendo directly. Pretty much any tournament over 200 people, which is not a lot of people, or that's online wild. Over 300, which is not a ton of online tournaments anymore, but Hungrybox runs Coinbox, which is a huge one that happens every once in a while.
I was gonna say, Smash can't even handle that number of things on its own, so it's like,
yeah, so and there's a lot of really strange rules in there, and you know, part of this is such new news that we don't really know how it's going to actually legitimately affect tournaments. You know, Nintendo's put out tons of stuff before that in the end not affected tournaments, but this is one where it seems like maybe it will. It probably won't affect locals because they literally don't have the oversight to actually look at every local in all the countries and say, oh, you broke this one rule and we're gonna, because like we don't even know what they're necessarily gonna do, send a cease and desist. I don't know, but some of the rules, I would think that there are some of the rules that would maybe still apply if it was licensed or not licensed. I think generally people are thinking, well, if it's licensed, then it kind of, these rules don't get affected by that. But I'm not 100% sure. So again, we're just gonna have to see, but some of the rules that they mentioned, there's the limit on entry, right? There's the entry limit competitor limit being like 200 for in-person, 300 for online, and again, out over that, you really need to have a license. You can't just be like a local tournament. They capped entry fee to like $20, at least US dollars, $20-ish, which is manageable for a lot of locals for sure. But there are some, like, it's really like regionals that I'm worried about. Like, I think majors are going to be able to get licenses. I think locals are going to be untouched. I'm worried about regionals because those kind of the in-between. We're going to maybe have more than 200 people, but you're going to maybe also be breaking some of these rules. And who knows if you're going to be able to get a license? Who knows if Nintendo's going to like them? Because you can't, Elsa says, you can't sell food or drinks. But like that like includes water, which is like crazy. Like, says you can't have modified hardware. Which, that's a pretty big one, because a lot of folks will have modded controllers.
Hitboxes and stuff.
People will have hitboxes, and that's not just for, because people have the money to get a nice controller. That's for accessibility. A lot of folks, I know people in my life whose GameCube controllers kind of destroyed their hands, and now they have to use, like, a different configuration or a different type of controller, or just straight up something like a box controller, or there's something called the Prism, which is like this funny looking triangular device, but it's a similar thing where it's supposed to make it way easier on your hands. It just happens to not be Nintendo licensed, so there's a big question mark on, and especially for the Melee community, there's a the question about FOBs has been like a pretty big discussion the last couple of years, but now it's kind of like, are FOBs even gonna be allowed at all? I'm not going to explain what FOBs are. You can look it up, because I don't actually even entirely know what FOBs do, but I just know that they're a thing in the Melee community especially. And kind of an ultimate, but more so Melee. So, a lot of weird rules. They also talk about, like, you can't sell merchandise. Who knows what that really entails? Because I've gone to tournaments before, especially, regionals and majors, that there's people, there's like a tiny artist alley. There's people selling art. There's people selling controllers or buttons for their custom controllers. Plushies, things like that. So it's like, are those considered merchandise? Like, what? That seems very vague. That's the theme of this whole guidelines, is that there's things that seem very, some things seem very like obvious and clear, but a lot of it is just vague. A lot of it is just like, well, don't do anything that Nintendo would deem inappropriate. It's like, well, I'm sorry, what do you deem inappropriate? Like, what does that mean? So I'm trying to think of other, I'm kind of thinking at the top of my head, because I did read through it. There's the modified controller thing. I think part of it, too, is the nonprofit aspect, because I don't know. Again, people are like, if you get a license for your big major, then it none of these rules apply to you, because you're no longer a community tournament. These are just for community tournaments that aren't licensed, kind of. It's like, so kind weird. Of the idea, which I'm like, maybe, but like, that's still really bad if the prize pool, I think, is limited. I think I do not remember the number at the top of my head, but they've limited what the prize pool is supposed to be, so it's just supposed to not give winners a lot of money. They already don't. That's crazy. Like, that's a meme in the Smash community, is that people already don't make money from Smash. They said you can't have sponsors, which again, like, hopefully that's not the case for licensed tournaments, but that could be really bad, because there's lots of licensed players. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's not even going to be a worry, because I think one of the tournaments in Japan that's already got licensed at this point is sponsored by Red Bull. So again, I think that one is license controlled for sure, but it's scary if they were to find some tournament where it's like, the winner made too much money and you weren't licensed, sorry. Like, what are they going to do? I don't know. Like, that's the other question. Yeah, like, no one knows what they're going to do. How do you navigate that? Like, it's crazy, and it's like just all these extra. Like,
how do you reprimand people for that kind of stuff? Like,
no, I have no clue. And so there's also another rule talking about the way you market your tournament. The name of the tournament, nor can the like marketing have images, titles, names of Nintendo games or Nintendo characters. Which is already affecting some locals in my area. There's a local that has a Smash at the end of it, called Rock Smash. So now I know the creators are already trying to figure out like what to do about that. Just trying to cover their butt, Be like, we can't be Rock Smash anymore. We got to be something else. just in case. Because even though they're a local, theoretically Nintendo's never going to get them. I don't blame them for wanting to cover their butt. There's actually another local, too, that already has said, hey, this is going to be our last one of the year. You know, it's a bi-weekly. It happens every other week. And they've already said that they've... that last week actually was their last one because the venue is a Gamers Heaven, which maybe you're familiar with because there's a couple of them across the country.
And I've seen them on Smash TikTok.
Tournaments. Yeah, so they host tons of things. And to be fair, I'm not too worried about them because they host Magic the Gathering tournaments. They host D&D tournaments. They host tons of tournaments. So honestly, they're probably going to be fine with the licensing.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of like, well, now what does the marketing look like? Because our local sometimes has like Pit or sometimes has like some characters. Like, is that not going to be allowed? Who knows? Like, it's all just so vague and weird. But I think the scariest thing, is that on the website, you can get an Ultimate license. And all the licenses that I've seen so far in the Smash community has been for Ultimate. But as far as we could tell, there's no option for Melee. It's literally not even an option. Like, you could do for Splatoon, you could do for probably Mario Kart. Melee's not listed because, for them, Nintendo thinks Melee's dead. So,
I think we've known that one, yeah.
For sure. So that's kind of like a... What's the Melee community going to do? I'm not part of the Melee community specifically. I'm more part of the Ultimate community, but that's kind of scary. And obviously, Melee will never die. That's the whole thing Mango said. And that's absolutely true. Melee will never die. But it's still like... It would suck, you know, for these bigger tournaments like Big House and stuff to, like, not have Melee because they're licensed. Like, we have no idea what it means. Like, we just have no clue. So, it's all just scary, and it's all just like, hey, Nintendo still could have just let fans and players do their thing. But no, they actively, every year almost, every couple of years at the bare minimum, go out of their way to make lives harder for their fans and lives for their audience. It's like, there was even a rule about charity events hosted at high schools. Like,
that's weird.
They want every time people that's gather
oddly specific.
They want whenever people gather to play Smash, they want it to be like a kid's birthday party. That is what they want. And they will not accept anything else.
Nintendo wants items on, basically.
They want items on, baby. Because they put them there and they're like, well, so it's just really upsetting to be together. And I mean, I've been switching to Rivals recently anyway, and Rivals, of course, is just run by a small dev team, and they're all very supportive of the local.
I was going to make that joke again if you didn't. I was going to be like, just go play Rivals then?
Yeah,
like,
no, literally. And Rivals 2 is you know, around the corner in 2024, so I think now's really a perfect time to join the community. I've already gone to a tournament, and it's been really fun. So I definitely want to play more Rivals. Not to deter anyone from playing Smash, because, like, obviously play the game, please. Like, do it if that's what you want to do. For me, I had other reasons as well to sort of step away from Smash for a bit. But it's just really frustrating. It's just hard to be a Nintendo fan, because they hate their fans. Because, again, this, like, does affect Smash. They've continually hated Smash, but this doesn't just affect Smash. It affects other games. So it's just crazy and very... Again, they literally done nothing.
Kills any
it doesn't
excitement.
Hurt them. None of this stuff hurts them. They're going out of their way to try to make room and work for their lawyers. Like, I don't know why. It's like they hired some lawyers like, oh, they're not doing anything. We're not giving them some work to do. Let's start bullying our fans and make it so they have to play the game how we want them to play. Not the way
give them a reason.
So anyway, that's a whole rant. That's a whole thing. But that's kind of what's been going down. And these guidelines take effect November 15th. So really, that's when we're going to start seeing how does it actually work. I did see a meme. I don't know. I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true. But I heard that Linus Tech Tips, who's a pretty big YouTuber, is trying to run a tournament that breaks as many of the rules as possible. I don't know if he's actually going to do that. I have no idea. But he wants to see what happens. And you know what? Maybe it's for the benefit of the community that we see what happens. I don't know.
Life sentence in prison.
It's just, yeah. They just sue him. I don't know. We'll have to see.
That sucks.
Nintendo will own him.
That's that. It's just hard to be a Nintendo fan.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into movies.
Yeah.
We also have some unfortunate movie news, but before we do that, we'll talk about movies that we've been watching. Shelly, what did you see?
I watched Five Nights at Freddy's, baby.
Yeah!
I still want to watch it.
I enjoyed it. It's a 6 out of 10 for me. It's not a good movie.
See, using the full scale. Take notes, all critics. Use the full 10-point scale.
Use the full 10 points. Yeah. It's not 3 out of 5. It's a 6 out of 10. So, and I did really enjoy it. But because I already know Five Nights at Freddy's lore and games and all of that, I'm totally FNAF-pilled, if you didn't know. So it was great for me, because I understood all this. And I it's not canon. I'm almost positive. This isn't like a canon story. This is like, it's Five Nights at Freddy's and we're making it a movie. It's not like a canon. Like, this is part of the already established timeline, which is already convoluted as heck. This is just a different story with characters. But it does, you know, pay you favors to know the lore, know what's going on. And I would actually go so far as to say, if you don't know Five Nights at Freddy's at all, maybe just don't watch this movie. It's not going to make any sense to you. It's not very scary.
So or even if you're like Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're even just like trying to get a good scare for Halloween time, I would not say this is the movie for you. Like, you have to be a fan to really appreciate this movie. And I do not, like, I was with a couple friends who all of us are, you know, kind of FNAF fans. And all of us were like, yeah, I can't imagine, like, a parent bringing their kid in to see this movie and understanding what the heck is going on and enjoying it. Like, they're just gonna, and then the kid's gonna love it, right? It's already made a crap ton of money, so that's already what's happening. But I personally am glad I watched it on streaming and didn't pay like $15 for a ticket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's worth that much, honestly. But especially if you like the series and you have friends, definitely watch it. Some actual sort of critique. I really, really enjoyed Josh Hutcherson's performance. I'm a fangirl of him anyway. Like, I love him in pretty much anything he's in. And for me, I haven't seen him in a lot of stuff. I know he's been in some stuff, but like, really the last big like headliner he was in was like Hunger Games, which was like forever ago. And he was great there too, but he takes a admittedly kind of shallow character, a character written to be somewhat shallow, and he makes him deep because he just acts that well. So he carries the movie by far. He really acts his heart out, and I really liked his performance. Again, he felt like the only like real character almost. And that sounds bad, but he acted well. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. There's not a lot of characters either in the movie, which is probably to its benefit because then you don't have to worry about keeping track of too many people.
I mean, the game is literally just you and like a bunch of animatronic robots. Exactly. So, like,
no, literally. So I thought all the set design was very cool. The actual animatronics were very cool. Definitely just incredible. Everything is very loyal to the games on that level. Like, when you're actually in the restaurant, it looks like the restaurant. But even more so, like, they kind of go into more different areas of the restaurant. And you're just like, oh yeah, this totally looks like a really fun 80s arcade sort of pizza parlor energy. Like, this is really cool. And there's also some like surprisingly wholesome and really good moments in the movie that I genuinely really liked that are so like not part of Five Nights at Freddy's like canon. That's I guess that's what I should say, like part of the games. Like they kind of did something that I really liked that kind of made it a little bit different, so I liked that too. But the rest of the movie isn't very good. It's not really real well written for the most part. Not a lot of stuff makes sense, as I tried to say. There's some weirdness. It's not very scary. So yeah, but I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought it was very fun, but not good. Anyone who's seen it probably knows what I mean. Is that like, I enjoyed it, but it's not good.
I need to see it at some point.
Because like, I wouldn't even say it's something where it's like, oh, it's so bad it's good, because there are movies like that. Like, no, I think there are genuinely good parts about it. It's just
like The Flash.
I guess so. I think it's probably a better movie than The Flash. I'm going to be
I'm gonna say I've never seen
it. It has to be a better movie than The Flash.
But it's you just kinda have to have low to no expectations going in this movie. If you
Sharknado is a better movie
expectations that's gonna be at all good in dialogue or anything, like, you're gonna be disappointed. It's not that good. So yeah, that's my cool. That's my little review.
Nice.
I finally watched Creed 3.
Oh yeah, what'd you think?
Not thematic at all. Y'all are thematic with everything.
Sure.
But we were watching Loki, and I'll talk about Loki in a little bit. But Jonathan Majors is obviously the villain. and Creed 3.
Yes.
And it was good. I felt it was short, which it probably needed to be. I'm sure I would have been bored with it if it had too much more going on. But it was very cut and dry. It was like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And then the fights. And it was like, okay. And so you get to watch this cool fight, like cinematography and choreography going on.
It was weird.
There's a lot of cool stuff with that.
Like, I had some personal connections with that movie, just like, especially between him and like with him and Jonathan Majors, like their relationship is like totally comparable to like a relationship I've had with somebody from my past and them like coming, you know, so it was coming back into my life. Not like it was weird how like how personal that story was for me. Like I liked it though. I mean, I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I will say, if you watch the trailer, you've seen the movie, so I might
be a
little bit spoilery here. But the trailer literally gives you the movie.
It does.
Which I thought was a strange choice. I do wish that... So, again, this is all in the trailer, but they were kids. He went to prison, Jonathan Majors' character. He comes back and he's like, man, you stole the spotlight. This should have been me up here making these big fights. I want a chance at it. And so then they fight. But there was a conversation at the end of it, and I think that could have been done a little bit better. It's just him saying, he was like, man, it's not your fault, that all this happened to me. And I really wish that they kind of would have delved more into, like, it wasn't about Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or Jonathan Majors' character, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I forget off the top of my head, too, but it's almost like, if y'all would have just said that Michael in the B. first place. No, the other, his character's name.
Oh,
Creed three, yeah.
The Jonathan Majors' character.
I see.
It's almost like a
Dame.
Yeah. It's almost like
a if you would have said that at the beginning, it would have helped a lot.
It's it's like the whole Cobra Kai thing. It's like, why don't we just call the cops? Because there wouldn't be, there wouldn't be a story. So yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
I just think like they could have gotten a little bit more in that conversation, and it, like kind of. Like, it, not only is it not Creed's fault, but, like, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about, like, Dame just needed a chance. It wasn't that he, like, he just wanted to be there. And they could have, he could have won or lost. He just wanted the opportunity that was taken from him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't worried about whose fault it was. It was just, like, and they don't really dig into that, and they could have done more with that
it's
moment.
It's like, well, you still acted kind of like a jerk, so...
He's like, it's not your fault. But, and then they end it there. Like, and it was just like, man, you, there's so much more dialogue could have happened in that moment.
Yeah.
To really kind of, to get, like, Dame just needed his...
Needed a shot.
His own redemption. Yeah. And, it had nothing to do with Creed. It wasn't really, like, a jealousy for Creed. It was like I need this for me.
They did an anime, I don't know if it's a short movie or whatever. I don't know if it's a follow-up to Creed 3, but I've been wanting to watch it. They've screened it at a couple places.
Okay, that was really cool too. Michael B. Jordan has come out and said that like a lot of the choreography was inspired by anime.
There's definitely some shots there.
Evident. Yeah.
Ooh, there's even a follow-up comic to that story too, I guess, that he got to work on or help with.
I want to check out the anime. That sounds cool.
It's like a short film.
It's not groundbreaking by any means, but if you've been watching the Creed movies,
it's a Rocky movie, like through and through, straight up.
Yeah.
You're going to watch dudes hit each other in the face, and that's kind of, you know, it's like Cobra Kai. You go to watch the martial arts, not really the teen soap opera part of it, but you know.
I will say this. I am so over the trope, and this is not to give too much away, but I'm so over the trope of, like, why'd you keep this from me? I was just trying to protect you.
Yep.
Like, it has been said so many times in TVs and movies. We should just ban that line.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that ever
again.
Or
they can be like, well, I was kind of ashamed to bring it up or something. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I was trying to protect you. It's like, oh.
I'm trying to protect you.
There could be other reasons you don't talk about things or you don't say things, you know? Like, they just don't
really. There's an episode of the Flash TV show, going back to Flaro, man. Flashback.
Full circle.
That I really, they kind of threw it on its head a little bit. I can't remember exactly what's happening, but he lies. His dad lies, and he's like, I can't believe you lied to me, but I get it. You were just trying to protect me. And then his dad's like, what? No. No, I was like, just didn't want to tell you. I was embarrassed. We need more of that. Flip it on its head. We don't need any more ever again. Why didn't you tell me? I was trying to protect you. Lying's protecting no one. Tell them. This is your sign. I just change and probably ruin someone's life, but bad advice. Be honest. It's your. This is your audio sign to do so.
Yeah, there you go.
LJ, what did you watch?
I watched The Nightmare Before Christmas.
But that's a Christmas movie.
It's both. I'm gonna end it here now. It's both. It's both. Yeah, and so I like, it's one of those movies where it's like, I know I've seen before, but every time I watch it, I'm like, have I watched this all the way through? You know, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I know I've watched it a dozen times at least. It's still really good. Still holds up. The music holds up. Like, oh, just like, as soon as the musical numbers kick in, I'm singing along with it. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, oh yeah, I forget how much of a musical this movie is. You know, it's just one of those things. That's what I remember most about it, is the songs and everything. And it was cool just to be like, oh yeah, there is a plot to this. It's good though. I enjoyed it. It's a fun watch. I watched it with my cousin. Maybe last weekend. Yeah, or this weekend before last. Yeah, it was a fun time. It was good. It can be definitely be both. It's got a lot of Christmas vibes, a lot of Halloween vibes. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to whoever wants to watch it. What time of year you want to watch it? Yeah, and then I even got, they added Jack Skellington as a Fortnite skin recently too. So I got that, and you can actually get it where his Halloween stuff or his Christmas stuff. So the skin, just like the movie, also works for the Fortnite Nightmare season and their holiday stuff. So he can be a real rebel, and he's got a Santa Claus stuff in it too. So yeah, it's a fun movie. I enjoy it. The music is so good. Yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Well, we will get into the movie news then. Not a lot going on, but something important. What's the update, Shelly?
Yeah, so we've talked about how the writer's strike is over, but actor's strike is still going on, and at this point, studios are willing to kind of wait out. Like, if there's not a deal soon, they're just going to push it to 2024. Which is... That's, I mean, insane. Already the strike's been going on for a couple months. So, like, on one hand, it's kind of like, oh, what's a couple more months? But it's also like, oh, man, like...
Pay your actors.
Pay your actors, please. We need more
news stories.
Yeah. So we don't really have any, like, movie news, because movie news is... just not happening until actors can act and get paid well for it. Yeah, so.
Everything was Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yep. Everything is all delayed. And, like, I heard the Snow White live action got delayed, and there's something else that got delayed. And it's like, I mean,
I'm so sad. The next Spider-Verse movie we won't be seeing for a while. Now. That was supposed to be in March. We were like that. We were edging close. But again, pay the actors, make sure everybody gets paid. As much as I want to see that movie, make sure everybody gets paid.
Yeah, I'd rather make sure everyone gets paid. But I don't really know what more to say about that, other than we've already talked about the strike, we've already talked about all that. It's just a matter of, there's just simply no movie news, because actors have been striking long enough, and writers at that point too, but they're kind of back at it, I think. But actors, you kind of need actors for a lot of stuff in Hollywood. So if there's no actors, you can't really make a lot of stuff. Yeah. We just don't have news, because there's just nothing to... There's just a strike, you know? And at this point, if it's going to 2024, it's going to 2024.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah. We'll get into the TV stuff, too. We do have a couple of TV things, but still. It's light. For that, we'll get into the shows we've been watching. I've been watching Loki.
Yeah.
And I can't say a word.
Sorry.
But man, I've heard that the season's not doing well with critics, but I love it.
I've heard the most recent episode is really good.
It's always episode 4.
Yeah.
every MCU show is yeah. episode four that they start to
true and then
episode
they
four
just,
six
got then two they, more. They decide five and six they want to mess around.
Yeah. we'll see. I'm sure that the next episode will be like a filler episode because that's always their MO. The penultimate episodes of every Marvel thing, every Disney Plus thing,
yeah.
has been a filler episode, and then the finale.
It's very upsetting.
And it's like, what are you doing to me? But no, this whole season has been good. A lot of people said, I think it was the episode before this. Was it three? It might have been two. They were like, this is the best Doctor Who episode I've seen in years. And it very much is. Like, it's taking so many notes from Doctor Who, Rick and Morty. Yeah, it's those two, basically. It's really kind of, like, inspired by that a lot. Loki gets to be Loki a couple times throughout the season. Which, I know that sounds weird, but, like, he doesn't get magic in the TVA. And so you kind of forget that he's, like,
super powerful,
of doing cool things.
Not really wizard, but kind of wizard. God. He's like a little G-God.
Yeah.
Of mischief.
This last episode, the acting was amazing. Of mischief, yes. Yeah, they even kind of in the show, they have this little bit where he's like, I forget that you're like a god.
Yeah, I'm like, we forgot what god he was, you know, what god he was. And it's like, oh, mischief.
But I don't know, I think the story's a little bit more self-contained, and I think that's probably bugging people. The last season was so big, and this feels a lot more intimate, and I can see why people would be like, oh, it's not as grand because of that. But the writing and the stuff that's happening, I think, is way more interesting in this than it was last time. There's some really dark moments too, and you may have seen some spoilers online about it, but like, show has got some of the most like creepy stuff happening, and then some of the most gruesome that you don't really see on camera kind of thing, but like, oof. Last few episodes have been pretty insane. I recommend it. If you watch Loki season 1, watch Loki season 2.
I think I'm just gonna
like Loki
season 2. I might wait till it's all out, but eventually I think I will watch.
Yeah. It's good. And then you guys watch something else, not Loki.
It's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. So good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
We watched it on Apple. I did with my cousin. And it was one of those things where like, oh, I forgot how short this is. Let's watch something else. And then that's what we ended up watching, The Nightmare Before Christmas, after that. But
gotcha.
It was really nostalgic to watch it. It was just so, like, I'm like, wow, like, I don't know. I feel like I hadn't seen anything Charlie Brown in like so long.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something like I know my mom used to love to watch, you know? So I'm just like, oh, like this was good to go back to. So
yeah.
It was a fun, like, so, you know, like it was, again, it was like kind of like how, you know, like before, like Disney movies and kids movies, how like sometimes they have the like 20 or like the like, you know, 15 minute short or whatever. Like that's what this reminded me of. This was just like 20 minutes or so, you know, I'm just like, oh, it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic for me too. I definitely grew up watching all the holiday ones every holiday. So I'd watch the Christmas one for Christmas. I'd watch the pumpkin one for Halloween. Sometimes I'd watch the Thanksgiving one, but I feel like Thanksgiving, sometimes we'd forget it. But it's funny because I actually didn't realize it was on Apple TV until like today. But we watched it
all
because
the Peanuts stuff.
My parents, I was at their house, and I kind of stole their we have the seasonal set, and that's how we grew up watching, was a seasonal set. So
that's cool.
We watched it on DVD because that's what we had. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Just so it's cute, it's nice. We actually are Dan and I are doing a couple's costume where he's gonna be Charlie Brown, I'm gonna be Lucy, but specifically from It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, like with their outfits.
That's awesome.
So because if you've never seen it, all the kids go trick-or-treating together, but they're all different types of ghosts. Like, they're all, yes. They all have the sheet over them, just so basic. But Charlie Brown said he had some trouble with the scissors, so he has a bunch of different holes
yes.
on his sheet. And Lucy has her sheet, but she has a witch mask and like a red hat. So I got a. It doesn't look quite like the one she has, so people probably don't recommend.
It's gonna be enough, I think. People will understand.
But I got like an old timey witch mask with its like red cone that I'm gonna like make look like a hat a little bit, and so that'll be good. But then Teal's like gonna carry around this paper bag that's that just with rocks, because that's the whole point. Is that all the other kids are like. I got a marshmallow. I got toffee. Then Charlie, every time, is like, I got a rock. It's like a It's like, I think if you haven't seen it, it's a little nonsensical. And that's totally just kind of Peanut style. It's all a little nonsensical. But it's very cute and kind of silly. And I think it's really, watching again for the first time in a couple years, I was like, you know what? I think today's people would like the humor of this, because I think it's kind of, we've kind of circled back to like stuff in that show is already funny again. Some of the stuff they do is just again, because it's a little bit nonsensical and people love nonsensical stuff nowadays. So definitely highly recommend it. Again, it's literally 20-25 minutes. It is not long. It's on Apple TV if you have it. And it's just cute. It's a nice little cozy, like if you want something that kind of gets you in the Halloween spirit that is not scary, that's not spooky, this is perfect. Because it's all about Linus basically trying to summon the Great Pumpkin. And apparently Charles Schulz, like, he sort of had the idea to make this because he was kind of upset that Halloween doesn't have, like, a mascot. Like, you know, Santa with Christmas. There's the Easter Bunny with Easter. Well, or not, you know, that's all capitalism, right? Whatever. But he wanted something for Halloween. And there's, like, you know, a turkey for Thanksgiving. So he's like, well, let's just have a Great Pumpkin. So it's kind of sweet, but... Yeah, I love Peanuts. Cool. They're just great. Snoopy. Yes, yeah. I love Snoopy.
I always love his pilot costume.
I love his laugh. He just sounds like a Snoopy toy. He's so funny. Such a funny dog.
Well, we will go from there into the TV news. We've got a couple things here. First one, finally got a release date for Fallout. It's coming out April 12th on Amazon. That should be pretty cool. As far as we hadn't had a release date yet, so April 12th, 2024.
Yeah, they've been slowly teasing nuggets and things, and so
yeah, I'm hopeful for it. We'll see.
Me too.
The other thing that I'm actually pretty excited about is so Marvel's Daredevil Born Again was basically canned. I mean, they got rid of everything. They got fired the writers, starting from scratch is what we were told, and so we have Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead on board as directors, I believe. And those were the directors for this last season of Loki. So, pretty surprised. That's a weird one for me. And then what makes more sense is the showrunner is going to be Chris Ord and Matt Corman. I'm trying to figure out which one. Oh, and Dario Scartapane. Scartapane will be the ultimate showrunner. Hold on. I'm getting facts wrong. Names are hard.
Oh, no.
Dario Scartapane will be the showrunner. The previous showrunners that were fired were Chris Ord and Matt Cornyn. And Dario did the Punisher TV show on Netflix. So, it makes a lot of sense for him to be showrunner. A lot of, you know, experience with the Netflix shows. Hopefully it'll kind of have that Netflix feel because of his writing. The Loki directors is kind of left field to me, but we'll see. I think it'll be good. They are not throwing everything away. Also, they are going to be using what they've recorded so far, and it makes me nervous. You brought up the Justice League thing, the Whedon cut.
I know.
I kind of feel like maybe they're doing a bit of a Whedon cut.
That scares me.
Yeah, so we'll see kind of how that goes.
I mean, if it becomes better, cool.
Yeah. He also did Jack Ryan in State of Affairs. So
that Jack Ryan show is apparently really good because it's lasted a long time.
But from the sounds of it, they're just kind of like just taking bits and pieces of what was recorded and just using that like as shots.
That's weird.
So you may have them like jumping across a building and they're like, cool, we're going to keep that kind of thing. But save money. We'll see. I'm not sure about keeping anything. I think you should start over. But we also don't know how many episodes it's going to be. Because we were told 22 episodes or something like that
last
time.
That's a lot.
So crazy.
Now I'm scared. And then, I was like, give me as much as you can. Now I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, and then Charlie Cox, he was going to be Daredevil. He was going to be, what's the character's name?
Matt Murdock?
Matt Murdock. He was going to be Matt Murdock for the first four episodes. Yeah. With no Daredevil appearance. He was just going to be a lawyer.
That's crazy.
Only four episodes with no superhero in a superhero show seems a little silly.
Yeah.
So, I think this will be for the better. So, what show I'm very excited about. I hope they do it right.
Same.
Are we geeking out about anything else this week?
Nope.
Nope.
I will not be here next week. You guys will have to record without me. I will be going to the Nerd Culture Ministry Summit.
Oh, yeah.
Put on by Love Thy Nerd. In Austin, Texas. Woo! So if
looking
you're there,
forward to hearing about
say
it.
Hi. Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm not leaving. I'm leaving Tuesday. But
messed up the night before, yeah. You gotta drive.
Yeah. Recording will be kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Shelly, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheShellShock24.
LJ?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under LJ the Paladin.
You always find me on Instagram at Cody Armor. Keep gaming, keep praying, and God bless.
Bye bye.
Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. We love hearing from you, so feel free to ask us questions or just comment on the show by using the hashtag GUGCast on Twitter or by joining the GUGCast questions channel in the Geeks Under Grace Discord. If you like this episode, consider leaving a review or rating of our show on your favorite podcast app. If you want even more Geeks Under Grace, you can always go to geeksundergrace.com. We love you all so much, so thank you for listening.
It's on!